We ended in another town, didn't we? A matter of fact, because you're about the only ones that will remember. Young people, yeah, they have three answers. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be kosher? I don't know. You know, those answers just don't quite get there. Anyway, let's open in a word of prayer. We'll do a little review. And last week I told you about, we were going to talk about, today is John the Baptist Day, basically. Okay, so I want to do a little bit of review on John the Baptist, who he is, his ministry. And we're going to take it through, I'm going to share with you a piece of John the Baptist's story that Luke chose not to place in his synoptic gospel, okay? That you'll find it in Matthew and Mark, but not here. And anyway, I got a lot to cover, and last week I ended early, so I'll go late this week. What do you think? Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank thee, God, for your manifold blessing. Lord, we live in a great country. We live in a beautiful city. We have a great church. But more than that, we have you. If all else falls, if our health fails, if our money's all gone, if they come for our life, we still have you. Lord, we thank you for that hope. We look forward to the day that we'll be gathered home. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, brother, you are wise beyond your years. The city of Capernaum. What have I described the city of Capernaum as? That's right. The base for Jesus' ministry, primarily through the first and second years. Okay, it's ground zero. It's the place he always comes home to. All right. And who is this gentleman? And how? Tell me how. The hat. Okay, what if his hat's off? And his big stick. All right. And what else? What? His resume. Okay. The battles that he was in. But if he's just in his tunic and he's doing some sword practice, how could you tell? Didn't I tell you this last week? Ah. How do people wear swords today? If I'm right-handed, where will my sword rest? On my left side, and I will draw it lengthwise. The Roman, their spatha is what it was called, the centurion carried it on the same side to which, and if you were a left-hander, you were good, because then you've got to do a cross-draw. But if you're a right-handed, you actually pulled it from your right side. If you're ever watching a Roman movie, a movie about Rome or a documentary, and if they don't get it right, doubt it. That, you know, you're a history, guys. Why don't you get the history right? Then what else can they not get right? The small things are the key things. How many smokestacks did the Titanic have? One was not a smokestack, though it looked like it. It was the ventilation exhaust stack. It would blow the smoke from the others up higher so it wouldn't be on the fantail of the ship. Not only that, the guys in the boiler rooms was actually fan-driven air circulation. It was one of the best places, it was the best ship in the ocean because it had forced ventilation for the guys down in the engine room. But if a movie about the Titanic doesn't get that right, what else will they get wrong? We're going to find that the small things are important, especially towards the end when we talk about the false faiths that have risen up lifting up John the Baptist, but eliminating, if not totally disregarding, the life of Christ. My faith doesn't believe in Abraham. What is that going to lead you to? My faith doesn't believe in Abraham. So the Jews are nothing, which means Jesus is nothing, which means Moses is nothing, which means the entire Old Testament is nothing. Which means the whole New Testament is nothing, which means I have to have my own writing. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, okay? Remember we had the city of Nain? right? What does Nain mean? It's about 25 miles from Capernaum. It's about, a little over a day's walk. If you really want to get your feet under it, you can walk it in a day. Remember, these people are used to walking everywhere they go. Unlike me, I walk to my car. I walk out of my car into church. I walk to my car. I drive home. Okay? All right? It's about 25 miles. It's right on the edge of the Jezreel Valley. And it actually sits against Mount Moriah here and viewing Mount Tabor. All right? But here's Capernaum, and here's all the major events and their locations of Jesus' ministry. But Nain is located down here about 25 miles away. Some pictures of late 1800s, early 1900s of Nain. It's grown up quite a bit since then. It's a pleasant place, okay? A peaceful place. And there's a picture looking back up here on the hill. Imagine looking towards us, and that's a picture looking towards Mount Tabor, okay? And what did Jesus do? Raised the sun. Now, how does the Bible describe the sun? Let's take a look. How did the Bible describe the sun? Verse 14 of chapter 7. And he came and touched the what? The beer. The beer. It's pronounced just like their beverage. The beer, and they that bore him stood still, and he said, what? Young man. Now, what does that word mean, young man? In the Jewish life, what is a young man? Would I be considered a young man? Rick, you're 60 years old. Actually, you would be a young man. That same word could be used to describe high school student all the way up to age 40. Okay? Because until past age 40, if somebody age 60 or more senior, they spoke, whose word carried? The elders of the city. Their word was respected. In our modern age, people of age don't get as much respect as they probably should. But he was resurrected from the dead. And we get to verse 16. And there came a fear on all and glorified God, saying, I am that a prophet is risen among the people, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout what? All Judea. And throughout all the region round about, and the disciples of John showed him all these things. Now, how many of you have ever been jealous? Well, if I'm so good, I could never have been jealous of anybody. There are people that are that conceited, okay? I've met a couple in my travels, okay? But have you ever been jealous? What do you think John's disciples were trying to engender here with John? What were you think they were trying to do? They showed all these things to John. I'm thinking it'll become more revealed as we go on. Verse 19, and John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that shouldst come, or look we, what? Have you ever heard of a person called Doubting Thomas? Have you ever doubted? Imagine for a moment the situation. These will become more important as we go on. Do we look for another? And in the same hour, He did what? Cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave what? Sight. That same hour. And Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, and how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. That list is important because I'm going to take you back to the Old Testament. Sometimes people say there are actually five gospels, that the book of Isaiah is the gospel according to Isaiah. But I'd like you to turn back to Isaiah chapter 29. Many places in Isaiah, you have these brief visions or flashes of insight into what it's going to be like when the Lord comes. And so there are lists of things that are mentioned. So let's go to chapter 29, Isaiah 29, at verse 17. Isaiah 29, verse 17. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the what? Deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the what? The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Do you think John the Baptist knew the book of Isaiah? Probably. Hello? I'm back. Yeah, I know that now there's people in the back crying tears. He's back. Chapter 35, verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Just some echoes that this is what was supposed to happen. Some of you have been bosses, okay? And been involved with hiring people. And how many of you ever had to interview people? Ed, you've read their resume, and they talk about how great they are. What are you looking for when you interview them?
Usually the positions I was involved in were technical expertise.
Mm-hmm. Their paper says one thing. What are they really? Okay. Well, in fact, remember the centurion? Where was his resume? On his chest. Jesus, instead of telling the disciples of John, well, yes, I'm the guy. Here, let me show you. A message that could not be denied. I am he. Without ever having to say it, He didn't say he was the Messiah. Most of the Jews of that period of time, when they said the Messiah is coming, what did they expect the Messiah to do? Yeah, start a revolution, throw the Romans out. Jesus didn't say that. But I am the promised one from back in the book. You know, have you ever, how many times have you heard pastors say you ought to read the Bible once a day? You ought to get into the Word. You ought to stay in the Word. Well, he's right. Okay? Let's get back. Wow. Why didn't John the Baptist come himself? Ah. Okay. John the Baptist had some doubts. Let's review. John the Baptist. Luke 1 and 2. Who was John the Baptist in relation to Jesus? Now, when we use the word cousin, if I was the second cousin of somebody, I could still say I'm a cousin. So we don't know whether it's first or second or third. It's the same in the Hebrew language, in the Greek language when you use the word cousin. Okay, so, but he was related, all right? Remember, Mary was younger and Martha was old, okay? So they were related. They were about the same age, all right? Interesting in this picture is an interesting piece of artwork. The Lamb is the Lamb of God, Jesus. And here's John the Baptist in kind of an old animal skin, recognizing that he wore camel hair. But he also is carrying something. What? A cross standard. Remember, Jesus was the forebearer, the preparer of the way of Christ. When you have an army marching, who's in the front? The flags. So when you see that symbol, it's going to become important a little later on in class, but when you see that symbol in art, that's what it's indicating to that, to the young one. And I thought this was an interesting picture. What? Am I rubbing?
Yes.
I'm rubbing. I need the sound guy to take care of me. Okay? But I thought this was an interesting picture. Remember, every Passover and all the other mandatory celebrations, the men would go to Jerusalem. They would have to go. And since they were family, they would spend time to each other. It's just an interesting thought. Jesus would come down from Nazareth. Hebron, where John the Baptist was in southern Judea, would come north, and they would see each other. They would know each other. But John the Baptist took somewhat of a different path than Jesus did. Remember what I told you about, that many Bible scholars believe because of his dress, because of his diet, because of his baptizing, he had a strong connection to those called the Essenes, who had their home in Qumran, but next to the Dead Sea. But God called John the Baptist to preach. What did he preach? Well, righteousness, repentance, the baptism of repentance, preparing the way of the Lord. So he was a preacher of righteousness. How many preachers of righteousness do we have in the Bible? Lots of them.
Most of them is low battery. How does this happen? All in one. A matter of fact, the 2A guy did buy the battery. Isn't that a sad story? Now, we need to figure this dude out. Isn't there a new box of batteries back there? Bert?
Okay, you guys, what are you going to do about that? Well, sorry, everybody, I'm making noise. Are we back? Are we back? Okay. John the Baptist was a preacher of righteousness. When the soldiers came to him, he says, listen, you can baptism for repentance, but I don't want you stealing anything from other people. The Pharisees came and he counseled them, and he was a preacher of righteousness. And then we had the, you know, his ministry was getting a following, so it had to get word back to Jerusalem, so they sent some people to go talk to him. Let's go to the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? Now, some people would read that as, art thou that prophet, as a repeat of the same question. It is not. All the way back in Deuteronomy, a man after Moses would be appointed a prophet. Okay? And that's Deuteronomy 18:15. That prophet is a description of the Deuteronomy promise. So it's two separate questions. I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then say they unto him, who art thou, that thou may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, which comes out of Isaiah 40. One crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, he, as said the prophet Isaiah, or Isaias, okay? So people started to query, well, who are you? Are you telling folks how they're supposed to get their life right, and who in the world are you, okay? Notice the soldiers and then the Pharisees. But then came a very, as it here in the book of John, Jesus comes to be baptized by him, and he calls him the what? What was John the Baptist's name for Jesus? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And what was the sign? The dove. The Holy Spirit coming onto Jesus. He had the responsibility to baptize the Lord Jesus. But did that stop his ministry? No, he continued to baptize. We've covered that when Jesus went to Jerusalem. He continued to baptize. He continued to preach righteousness. But you know what happens when a person preaches righteousness long enough? They get some folks well-known and very powerful upset at them. Let's get back to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And we just finished verse 22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. Tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whomsoever shall not be, what? Offended in me. Somewhat of an encouragement for John to keep on doing what? Keeping on, okay? I love the word encouragement. Sitting right dab in the middle of it is a very important thing we all need. What? Courage, okay? And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What when you went out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a what? This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He was basically telling the people. How about Daniel? Who is greater than Daniel? John the Baptist. What about Isaiah? John the Baptist. Malachi? John the Baptist. Samuel? John the Baptist. He didn't say it while the other folks, while the John's disciples were there, but he told it to the people. And all the people heard him, and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not what? Baptized of him. Who came to John to be baptized? Who came to the truth? Was it the wealthy, the powerful? Oh no, The Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. Why is it so important to accept Jesus as Savior? You were literally doing what? Taking the counsel of God against who? Yourself. You believe God over your own feelings. You believe God over your desires. You believe that God loved you more than his own son. And the Lord said, Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? To what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking wine, and ye saith, He hath a devil. And the Son of Man cometh eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. Have you ever noticed some people just are never satisfied? I don't care what you do. You just can't. They love the drama and the angst and the energy and tension around never being happy. Sometimes when I'm moving furniture, I'm kind of like those people. I don't like moving furniture. To me, it's the greatest waste of effort on the planet. It was good enough right where it was sitting. Okay? All right. I'm doing this as an apology to my spouse. We were moving furniture yesterday. It's really hard when your wife is in your class. But there are folks who are in ministry. When I was in Master Club in Steve's slot, I'd have people come up to me and say, You know, you ought to really do it this way. Oh, I actually had several people. But I have a patent answer for that. Well, God bless you, brother. Since you have a vision for where this ministry should go, I'm willing to join hands with you. And all of a sudden, they evaporate just like the dew in the morning. Okay? The fact is that in the time of Jesus, they had, if you followed the truth, you would have followed John the Baptist before Jesus was ever revealed. But now you've got miracles in the streets. People are being risen from the dead and you still don't believe? Help me, please. Wisdom is justified of all her what? Children. Day before yesterday, I was putting up all my bric-a-brac in my room and my grandsons were with me. And we talked a little bit about wisdom and knowledge and why it's so important to strive for it. And Proverbs is filled with admonitions for Solomon's son to search something more than money, more than power, but knowledge and wisdom. I would rather have those than anything, than comfort. But John the Baptist, what might you think would drive him to the point of perhaps doubt? Now, I'm not going to ask for confessions, but how many of you have ever been in jail or in prison? Now, the only prison I was in a jail in Salt Lake City, not thrown in there. I was shore patrol picking up a guy. Is that okay? Is that better? What? Sea story? Well, I had to pick up a guy. He stole a car, and he was a Navy nuke at Idaho, and we had to bring him back. And, yeah, we handcuffs the whole nine yards. But then I did ministry up at Coyote Ridge for a number of years. And I had the guys sitting there complaining about the bed that they had and how little, what little room they had. And I said, let me describe for you my time aboard a submarine. They realized they didn't have it so bad. But the point is, does a prison focus you inward? That's the whole reason we incarcerate people, is they will look inward and come to some conclusions to change their outward. That's the whole mental picture here. Now, granted, our correction system is not as good as we would all like it to be. It'd be nice if we could take a little magic wand and go, ting, okay, and poof, they're good citizens. But it doesn't quite work out that way. Luke chooses not to record in his gospel the event we're going to talk about now. But I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 3. He makes a little flash forward to it in Luke chapter 3. Unless verse 16, Luke chapter 3, verse 16. This is John the Baptist. John answered and said unto them, all I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor and shall gather the wheat under his garner, but the chaff he will do what with? With fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved of him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all. If you had to measure all the things that Herod Antipas was, and this above all, that he did what? Shut up John in prison. Now, to give you just how weird this relationship was, is it legal in the United States to marry your cousin? Some states it is not. Other states it is. But most people don't mess with that anymore. We had some friends that were first cousins that were husband and wife. Good, bad, or indifferent. There's some genetic issues why that's probably not a great idea. But they seem to get over it. But even in this period of time, marrying your cousins, unless you were Egyptian royalty, was really not thought of very highly. So here we have Herod the Great. Herod had 5 wives. So we had Antipater, Aristobulus, Alexander, Herod Antipas, Achillas, and Philip the Tetrarch, and Herod Philip. He killed him, Herod the Great killed him, killed him, killed him, and killed him. So he only had 3 left, Herod Antipas, Philip the First Tetrarch, and Herod Philip the First over here, all right? Well, they in turn, Aristobulus had a daughter called Herodias, all right? So she marries her uncle. Well, she actually married her uncle over here and then was stolen over to here. She had a daughter called Salome, and Salome was involved in a dance. This is recorded both in Mark and in Matthew, but we're going to go through the Matthew text. And it's really mentioned in Matthew as a flashback. You get to verse 14 in Matthew, chapter 14, verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. So what was he scared of when he heard about all the great things Jesus was doing? Life. Well, there's no explanation ahead of that of how that happened. So then you get the text, verse 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's, what? Wife. Now, Herod Antipas, we have no idea what photograph, what he looked like, but Herod Antipas coins are some of the rarest coins that you can find in Israel. By the way, this is a image of Herod Antipas. This coin, there are only three in existence. These are proutas. You would call them a widow's mite, okay? And that's how they're called in the New Testament. They're called a pruta. Those are also Herod Antipas's, okay? And they're very rare. The more common ones are the ones that was issued by the Roman governor of Judea. Herod Antipas had which two pieces? Galilee and Perea. Those were his pieces to rule. This part was ruled by the Roman governor, okay? And these two pieces were ruled by each of the other brothers. Now, Herod Antipas was described by Luke, or by Jesus, as a fox. That fox. If the Son of God, if God himself described you as a fox, what was that described to you? What kind of person was Herod Antipas? Sly, crafty. Not very strong in him himself, but willing to use the situations and events and play the game. By the way, this is called a golden jackal. This is the animal that was being referenced here. Okay? This is from Israel. They're a little bit smaller than a coyote, not quite the size of a fox. But this is the fox of that period. This is the same animal that Samson would have tied the firebrands to the tail to run through the... Okay? All right? So, John the Baptist, notice what's in there now? That cross standard again. If you look in art, there's indicators in art that'll tell you who's who in different things. Here's Herodias, and there's Salome, and here's Herod Antipas looking like an Arab sheik, but he wouldn't have quite been dressed like that. Now, would you consider Herod the Great a paranoid individual? And if you have a father that's paranoid, do you think his sons, the three out of the seven that survived, would they be paranoid? Okay? So, it just so happens that Herod the Great was so paranoid, he fortified Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem you've heard about, his palace was all basically a fortress. Also from the south, he built other, at Masada, you've seen pictures of that. The Herodium, you've seen pictures of that. And Manturus Fortress, which is in Jordan. This is the old Perea. So which one of these fortresses would be under Herod Antipas? Manturus Fortress. Most Bible scholars believe, and including church tradition, says that's the place where John the Baptist was imprisoned. So when he was in prison, he was on that mountaintop in the fortress that was on top. This road didn't exist. It was more of a pathway would be best described. It was enough for a cart to carry him up, but it was not for military access to the top. There's another picture. It was actually composed of the main fort structure, house, castle, and two outposts where they could see literally over the whole Dead Sea, anybody that coming to an army or whatever. But this part is the most important, this courtyard area. Right here, if you look from an aerial over it, that's the courtyard. It's built in a peristyle format, and that is an artist's conception of what the fortress looked like. So here would be the area when you have major events, such as your birthday party, they would be held under the stars as you're partying and being wild and weird, okay? Somewhere, probably in the basement of this or this, would be some form, because there has to be large foundations built when you build a structure like that. That's probably where the prison where John the Baptist was kept. At first, by virtue of what we have in Luke, that he had some access to his disciples. Okay? He just couldn't walk up and talk to him. He had to remember, it says it called two of his disciples. All right? Remember Jesus' answers. He went out and gave sight to the blind, raised the dead, healed the lame. That word would have come back to John, and those words would have been ringing in his ears. As you can hear the ruckus through the place that there's getting a party put together. Man, we're running out of time. And we'll talk about the party next week, all right? Because Davey's right out there. He's looking at me through the window. And I'm sorry about the battery problem, okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look forward to, really not want to look forward to, but Lord, John the Baptist's moment, Lord, we pray that as John the Baptist had courage to stand, even before a king, and still tell him what was right, Lord, give us the courage to tell the truth. Do not fold in our moment of trial or test. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the service to come and upon the Thanksgiving season. Lord, we just have so much to be thankful for. Lord, we just love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.